The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Erased, a DNA discovery that changed my reality. I'm your host, DJ Medikenko, and this podcast is about how DNA test results uncovered a 51-year-old secret and turned my world upside down. Join me as I share the secret, as well as explore the many outcomes of the unraveling of DNA through DNA testing, which has become a mainstream tool around the world. Hello, and welcome to episode 1. I know who I am, so why? This episode contains offensive language that may alarm some listeners, and my sincere apologies in advance. If you do stay tuned, I think you will agree with me that there is just no substitute to reflect my emotions at that time. All right, here we go. You were never part of this family. You are not your father's daughter. You are not your mother's daughter. You have no blood. Followed by hysterical laughter and a slam of the phone receiver. These vicious words were spewed out from a woman, not just any woman. She was someone I called Auntie for over 40 years out of respect and adoration. She was my father's youngest and only sister. This vomit is what she screamed into the phone about a week after I buried my mother in 2016. That year and the 3 years before were rough. I lost my father in January 2013, lost my brother in June of the very same year. It's amazing how quickly some family relationships can change. How greed comes to foam like the scum that rises when you boil meat. I decided to skim the scum and throw it down the sink. The scum, formerly known as Auntie, is cut out of my life. We now fast forward to 2020. Yes, this was when COVID hit the world hard. It was also when I turned 50 and the joy of perimenopause right along with it. The hot flashes, the mood swings, and the migraines ran me over, only to rinse and repeat all over again. Don't even get me started on the weird weight redistribution. When I was younger and put on weight, it was always in my butt, hips, and thighs, never the waist. My clothes were not fitting me the way I was used to, and this was quite frustrating. The comforting thing was that I had a company of friends who were also going through the change. We bounced recommendations off of each other, from what our doctor said to the trends we all found on the internet. I really missed Okasan, my mom, when that was going on. I wish that she was here for me to ask her how it was for her when it happened, to ask her how it was for Obachan, my grandmother, and all of my aunties. I like to imagine that Okasan would have responded with some old Japanese remedy, like a special herbal tea. But we never had that talk. Several of my friends had taken DNA tests and found out about their food sensitivities. Some of them claimed feeling some relief for switching out their diets. I was miserable at this point and decided to give it a try. So I got myself a 23andMe kit in December 2021. I put in a hearty amount of saliva into that little tube and shipped it back. On February 8th, 2022, I attended a professional development session on campus titled How to Get Published. All the attendees shared a tidbit of the kind of writing they were working on. Some were working on research materials, others were writing fictional stories. An instructor from the counseling psychology program shared that she was working on her dissertation, which was focused on DNA revelations and the shock and trauma that can come up from the discoveries. I had no idea that that was a thing. Why wouldn't it be a thing? Jerry Springer banked on these type of shocks for years. I remember chuckling to myself, well, wonder what I'll find out from my test. It's gonna be so boring. The very next day, I received an alert via email that my DNA sample was processed and that the results were available for viewing at the company website. So I logged on and the main landing page had the breakdown of my ethnicity. 50% Japanese, 48.5% Northwestern European. Wait, what? That can't be right. So I refreshed the screen, adjusted my glasses. What the f***? The ethnic breakdown did not change. I have always ethnically identified as half Japanese, a quarter Samoan, and a quarter Tokelauan. Sometimes I would just simplify by saying that I was half Samoan to non-islanders, since many had no idea what or where Tokelau is. But looking at the DNA result map, there is no Samoan at all. What the hell is going on with that big chunk of Europe reflecting my ethnicity? Clearly, there was some kind of error. Then boom, another DNA result alert. You have connections on your family tree. Looking at the chart, the tree indicated that I have a half-sister. What? Did Daddy cheat on Okasan? I then used my finger to follow the line. We share the same mother. I don't understand. What is going on? So I sat with that information for a while. Then it hit me. Am I adopted? That can't be. Maybe. Is it possible? It was then that the words that Scum said 6 years ago came back. You were never part of this family. You don't have blood. I was furious and hurt again, but this time the questions cropped up. Why didn't my parents tell me? Who am I? Is there someone who knows the truth? Do I want to find out the truth? Is the truth going to hurt me? Will it hurt the people I reach out to? I fell into a bit of rage. Okay, maybe not just a bit. Rage, denial, rage, denial. Here I was, 51 years old. Everything I knew to be true about myself was a lie. As each second passed, I was being pulled down into a giant maelstrom. I was being erased. I was a living secret. I calmed myself down, burnt some incense, and in my mind, I had a conversation with my parents. In that quiet moment, I reflected on my childhood. I had a happy childhood, and I like to think I turned out okay as an adult. I'm happy with my life. The last question I asked myself in my moment was, would I change anything? And the answer was no, not at all. I'm a strong believer of ifs, as in, if one little thing was tweaked, it would have changed where I am now, and I found myself grateful. 6 days passed as I played tug-of-war in my head. Should I or should I not send a message to the new family? I decided to go ahead with the understanding that they may never respond. On February 15th, I sent a message to my half-sister, aunt, and cousin via private message in 23andMe with a simple message. I said I had gotten results from the DNA test, found out that we were closely related, was a bit confused about the situation, and that I was interested in chatting about it. I added my contact info. On February 20th, I sent a message to my cousin in Japan. She was Okasan's kid brother's daughter, and she was like a little sister, and we had been close for years. I explained the situation, and she was in utter shock. I tasked her with a huge favor. Please ask your parents if I am adopted. She hesitated, thought it was ridiculous, but she agreed to ask. Within a few hours after chatting with my cousin, I received a response from my half-sister. Her original thought was that I was a scammer and that the connection must be a mistake. I responded with more details about myself. She indicated that the connection was a bit of a shock, and she graciously asked for some time. A few hours later, she reached and suggested we talk about this over the phone. She was located in New Jersey, so we needed to find the right time. So we set the chat for 5 p.m. on Tuesday, February 22nd. Meanwhile in Japan, my cousin worked fast in getting information. We chatted on February 21st. Her father, Okasan's kid brother, and mom confirmed that I was indeed adopted. They didn't have details of my birth mother, but what they did know is that Okasan had a couple of miscarriages, and it was determined that she could not have children. At that same time, a young, unmarried woman expecting a child had been abandoned by an American sailor. The two women shared a doctor who helped with his patient's predicaments. I will never know his name, but I am forever grateful that he helped them both. My cousin added that her parents wanted me to know that I will always be their niece. They also wanted me to know that Okasan absolutely loved and was proud of me from the first time she held me. The phone call was ended by hearing my cousin say that I will always be her older sister and that she loves me. And for that, I'm grateful to you, Leho-chan. I love you very much. February 22nd came around, and I had to report to jury duty that day. That was the longest day ever. When the clock hit 2, it was as though time slowed down, and I found it hard to focus on what was being discussed in the selection room. Albeit, this was my 4th time reporting for jury selection. All I could think about was the conversation I would be having in 3 hours. What do I say? What will she think of me? I was nervous, and I don't get nervous very often. And as luck would have it, the traffic on the 101 was a complete nightmare, and I was not going to be home in time for the call. But this was not a call I should have while driving. So I sent a text to my half-sister to let her know of the possible delay of giving her a call. She responded with, "Take your time. I'm not going anywhere. No rush, please. Drive safely." I finally had a chance to call. 3.5 hours later, we ended that call. That's right. 2 complete strangers chatted nonstop for that long. I think we could have chatted further, but the time difference, Pacific Standard versus Eastern Standard, comes into play, as well as both of us being working adults. You may be wondering what in the world we chatted about. Well, stay tuned for episode 2, Filling in the Blanks.